Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Pramaya, Shakti Tattva, I think it's chapter 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Ananjana Shalakaya Taksurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanevhyo Vaishnavevhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from the Bhakti Center. I'm here this week doing a series of lectures at Yogamaya to a new group of teacher trainees. Very wonderful group. And I spoke yesterday 4 hours on the Yoga Sutras, and I will speak tomorrow 4 hours on the Yoga Sutras, and then on Friday about Bhakti. So let's continue. Vrajanath, he is Rasa Sarup, why can't the materialist see him or comprehend him? So, I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but we know this is a story of people coming to Krishna consciousness after the generation of Lord Chaitanya. And now we're following one particular person, not just coming to Krishna consciousness, but becoming fully educated in Krishna consciousness. So a lot of the rest of the Jiva Dharma will be the education of Vrajanath, who was a great logician who was cursed to lose his career as a logician, and he lost it in a unique way by somehow, in his thirst for the study of logic, he wanted to study Nimai Pandit, who was a great logician. And becoming attracted to Lord Chaitanya, he gave up his desire to be a logician. And gradually he sought out the association of devotees. And now he's being educated on Dasmula Tattva. I don't know where it originally comes from. It's certainly in Jiva Dharma. Bhaktivinoda seems to indicate that it comes from somewhere around Lord Chaitanya's teachings, but it's a summary of the 10 subject matters of Krishna, basically 3 subject matters, which is Sambandhagyan, which is metaphysical and epistemological knowledge of Krishna consciousness. And then Abhideya Tattva, discussing the method of realizing the absolute truth, which is bhakti, and then Pyojana Tattva, which is the goal, which is priti or love. But anyway, these three subject matters are further divided within 10 subjects. And one of them is Shakti Tattva. And Rajanath describes that there's a main Shakti, the Parashakti, and has three main aspects: matter, spirit, the external, the internal, and the marginal potency, which are further divided into of each realm of its pleasure potency, of its knowledge potency, pleasure, ladini, shakti, knowledge potency, sambit shakti, and existential potency, sandini shakti. But anyway, in that discussion of shakti, there was a description of how through God's energies, the spiritual world and the forms of God are manifest. And that ultimately the Supreme Lord is Rasa Sarup. His nature is to be full of ecstatic love. And that's actually the highest reality. And that's very reasonable conception, that we're consciousness and we reach fruition in unbounded love, which is an exchange, actually. Rasa Vaisaha, that ultimate reality, is this loving exchange. That's what ultimately exists. What ultimately exists is the highest pleasure, which is God's exchange with his energies, his pleasure potency, which is put within the hearts of the devotees. So the ultimate reality is Leela, the drama or play in which God is exchanging with his energies. And it's a reasonable concept, more than reasonable concept, and the fact is, what ultimately exists is the will of God, and there's no other ultimate reason for that than the will of God. And if there is a reason for it, it is within the will of God. There's nothing that dictates to God the way God should be. Otherwise, there'd be something greater than God, and it wouldn't be God. So, there's a description of God as Rasa, the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, basically the same thing is said, that the definition of God is Akila Rasamrita Murti. He's the embodiment of all forms of love. I always make that point when I discuss about Krishna, that the highest manifestation of being is love, it's personality. It's not position. Yes, God is majestic, but his highest manifestation is his fullest manifestation is his exchange of love, which are very intimate and are not exchanged from a distant majestic platform. So the highest, the fullest revelation of God, as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, is Ete Chamsa Kalapunsa Krishna's Tu Bhagavan Swayam. He's the original personality of Godhead. He's the full manifestation of love, which entails some intimacy, not majesty. So Vrijanath asked, if he is Rasa's Sarup, why can't the materialists see him or comprehend him? God is the embodiment of love. Then why can't people actually comprehend that? Why can't they or see him? And Babaji Maharaj will now answer this very, very clearly, that there are two types of conditioned souls. Those who turned away from Krishna, Parak, and those who are facing Krishna, Pratyak. Jivas in the Parak state cannot see Krishna's beauty because they are opposed to him. And even in the material world, we can see our consciousness affects it, our attitudes affect our perception. If we're envious, we won't see someone's qualities. So those who have turned away from Krishna, they cannot see the beautiful love of Krishna. Naham pakasya sarvasya yogamaya. I am not manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. Any person reveals themselves only in love, only in relationship. Even in an ordinary sense, you can't really know someone unless you love him. And they've accepted that love in a relationship. Otherwise, you can't know any person. So how can you know God unless you love God? If you want to exploit God, or if you hate God, or you're threatened by God, you'll have a very distant perception of him naturally. And you won't be able to see his heart, his beauty. So the jivas, they only see and think about material things. Jivas in the prajak state are opposed to Maya and faithful to Krishna. So they can see Krishna's rasa sarup. That means his form of divine love. It is said in the Kattu Upanishads, Paranchikani Vratanat Swayambhush Tasmat Paran Pashyati Nantaratmam Kaschit Tira Pratyag Atmanam Makshed Avritta Chakshur Amritvam Avritta Chakshur Amritatvam Icham. The self-born Parameshwar has made all the senses so they tend towards external objects. That is why the jiva normally perceives only external objects through the senses and is unable to see Bhagavan situated within his heart. Only a grave and resolute person, Dhira, who desires liberation in the form of love of Krishna, can disengage his ears and other senses from external objects and see the Pratyag Atma Sri Bhagavan. So, basically, consciousness flows in two ways. It flows from the self towards the objects of the senses on the inspiration of false ego to control and enjoy those objects. And generally, we have senses based on the false ego, based on the delimiting of consciousness to a particular body, which is what the ahankara of false ego does. We get a particular set of senses for the intention. 1 second. For the intention of enjoying the world. And when we're focused in that way, then we're not able to perceive anything else. Just like in the Shvetashvatara Upanishads, it mentions there are two birds in the tree. One is eating the fruits of happiness and distress, and the other is witnessing. So the witnessing bird is Krishna. But when the senses and the energy is going external to contact the sense objects, then we can't hear God in the heart, we can't see God in the heart. And it's the nature of the senses to be very limited, or the mind to be very limited in what it can register at any one time from the senses. Probably any moment, only a fraction of our sensory stimulation. Even I'm looking at this room. How much of it can I see at once? Not much. To really just stare at what looking around you, you'll see that actually what you're seeing in one sense is a composite of many, many pictures that your eyes are taking. And that at any one moment, it's confined to a very, very small portion of the environment that the object of sight can actually perceive. So when the senses are absorbed externally, then one is unable to see Krishna, Bhagavan, within the heart. And specifically, in terms of the yogic process, you're reading today, well, what is yoga? Or how do you still the mind? Well, it's by concentration. And concentration means effort. Effort without interruption. Our spiritual practice should be without interruption. Once we engage in chanting, nothing should distract us. For a long time, it should go on steadily, day by day. And with reverence and respect that you're actually pursuing the ultimate goal. And that's practice, and then dispassion. And dispassion means withdrawing the consciousness and reflecting the consciousness on God or oneself, rather than contacting the sense objects on the basis of false ego. One is withdrawing the consciousness from the external world and retracting it or reflecting it back into the heart. So one can see God. Atasri Krishna Namadi Nabhavam Grayam Indriya Sevam Mukhehi Jiva Dao. Unless one is Sevam Mukhehi, Mukhehi means straight, concentrated in the mood of service, then one can't see God. Rajanath, who is the one who has been called the embodiment of rasa in the shloka rasa vaisaha? Babaji is said in Gopala Tapani Upanishads Purvakanda 12:13 Gopavesham Abrabham Tarunan kalpa dhuma shritam satundarika nayana megabam vajutambaram. His dress is like that of a cowherd boy. His eyes are like a fully blossomed white lotus. The hue of his body is blackish blue like monsoon clouds, and he wears a brilliant effulgent yellow cloth. With his two graceful arms and hands, which are held in Jnana Mudra, the pose indicating divine knowledge, he holds his vamsi. His neck is beautified with a garland of forest flowers that reach to his feet, and he is standing beneath the kalpa vriksha. That Sri Krishna is the Lord of all. So who is that? Rasa Suru. It's Krishna. Rajanath, now I understand that Sri Krishna in his Nitya Siddha Sarup within the spiritual world is all powerful, the embodiment of Rasa, Rasa Sarup, and the object of all Rasa. He is unattainable through Brahmagyan. If one practices the Eightfold System of Yoga, one can only realize his partial manifestation as Paramatma. Nirvishesh Brahman is but the bodily luster of Sri Krishna, who is full of eternal spiritual qualities and is the worshipable Lord of all the worlds. However, we can find no means to attain him because of his inconceivable nature. Moreover, what means do human beings have apart from meditation? Whether one is a Brahmin or untouchable, he does not have any means other than his mind. Therefore, it is very difficult to attain Sri Krishna's mercy. So, Rajanath rightly concludes, if Krishna is Rasa Sarup, the embodiment of love, the full manifestation of God, and has inconceivable potency, how can us human beings understand him? We have the mind, and our mind is so limited. We have no other option to understand anything but through the mind, and our mind is so limited. So how do we understand? And it's so difficult. It must be Krishna's mercy. But it's so difficult to get Krishna's mercy. Babaji, it said in the Katha Upanishads 2.2.13, Tam atmasthamye nupashanti diras tesham shanti shashvati netaresam. Only the wise man who sees Paramatma within himself can achieve eternal peace. No one else can. Rajanath, one may be able to attain eternal peace by constantly seeing within oneself. But what is the process by which one can see him? It is difficult to understand this. Actually, not just in the heart, how can you actually see the form of God standing right before you? Babaji has said in the Katha Upanishads, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedayana Bahudashritena Yamevaishavit Tunitena labhyas tashesha atma vinute tanu. One cannot attain Parabrahma, Paramatma, by lecturing, by intellect, or by the study of various shastras. He only reveals his transcendental form by his own mercy to one whom he himself accepts. So this is just an existential fact, whether it's God or the living entity, a person's being, a person's nature, a person's love, a person's innermost self is within that person's hands to actually give or not give. You can capture someone up, you can tie him up, put him in the basement, but you can really never know that person. Unless the person gives their heart to you. And you only give your heart in love. Because when you give your heart, a person can do one or two things to you better than anyone else. They can exploit you or love you. So one is very, very careful to give his heart. And same thing with God. You can't understand him by any intellectual process. He only reveals, you'll only see his form by his own mercy to one who he feels is desirous of seeing and worthy of serving his form. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, Atapite deva padam puja dvaya Prashadale Shanu Krihita Avihi Chinati Tatvam Bhagavan Mahimno Nachanya Eko Pracharam Vachindam. O Lord, one who attains even a little of the mercy of your two lotus feet can comprehend the essence of your transcendental glories. Others cannot realize the essential truth of yourself, even though they may keep searching you for many years through Gyan and Vairagya. So unless God wants to reveal himself, one cannot understand God. Even an ordinary person can't be understood simply by analysis. So what to speak of understanding God? My son, my Prabhu, is very munificent. That Sri Krishna is the soul of all souls cannot be attained by reading or hearing various shastras or by arguments and discussions, nor can it be obtained through sharp intelligence or by accepting several gurus. Only one who accepts it as my Krishna can attain him. He will only manifest his transcendental Satchitananda form to such a bhakta. When we analyze the Abhideya Tattva, you will be able to understand these truths easily. So this Nitya Siddha Rasa Srupa, the form of God of love, is only manifest to those whom he has a particular relationship with. Only when you accept God in a very intimate feeling will he reveal himself to you intimately. So here it says, only when accepts God as my Krishna. In other words, accepts that I have a very intimate and deep relationship with Krishna. Then that form of Krishna will not be manifest. Vrajanath are the names of Krishna's abode written anywhere in the Vedas. Babaji, yes, the names such as Paravyoma, Brahma, Gopala, Puri, and Gokul are found in several places in the Vedas. For example, in the Svetashvatara Upanishads, it says, Vukokshare Paravyoman Yasmin Deva Hari Vishve Mishetu Yatanna Veda Kim Vichakarishyati Yaritad Vedusta Ime Sisma Samasate. One must know that infallible Akshara Brahma, who resides in the abode called Paravyoma, he is the subject matter of the mantras and the Rig Veda, and all the devatas take shelter of him. One who does not know that Parama Purush cannot fulfill the purpose through the Vedas. However, one becomes blessed who realizes that Paramatma in accordance with Tattva. So here it mentions the Lord's abode as Paramevyoma, Paravyoma. They said in the Mundaka Upanishads 227, Divye Brahma Puri Yesha Vyomyatma Pratishta, that Paramatma eternally resides in the transcendental Brahma Puri, that is the form of Paravyoma. It is said in the Purusha Bodhini Shruti. So now it's mentioning where in the Shastra it mentions the abode of Rasa Sarup. It means God who's fully intimate and loved. So he's giving all the references now. In the area of Mathura called Gokul, Srimati Radhika is situated on one side of Bhagavan and Chandravali on the other. In the Gopala, Tapani Upanishads, it says, Tisham Madhye Sakshat Brahma Gopala Purihi. Brahma Gopala Puri is situated in the middle of the group of transcendental abodes, Rajanath. Why do the Tantrika Brahmins call Shiva's potency Durga? Babaji, the illusory potency, Maya Shakti, is called Shiva Shakti. This Maya has three modes, namely Sattva, Raja, and Tama. Brahman is in the Sattvika mode, worship Maya in a pure way, as the form that embodies Sattva Gun. Brahmas in the Rajasika mode worship Maya in the form, the embodiment of Rajagun. And Brahman is in the Tamasika mode worship Maya in the presiding deity of Tamagun, taking ignorance to be knowledge. In fact, Maya Shakti is only a name for the distortion, Ikara, of Bhagavan's Paratat Shakti in the form of its shadow. It is not separate, independent Shakti. She is the sole cause of the Jiva's liberation from bondage. When the Jiva becomes opposed to Krishna, Maya punishes him by throwing him into worldly bondage. However, when the Jiva becomes favorable to Krishna, the same Maya manifests the sattvika qualities and gives him knowledge of Krishna. She then liberates him from worldly bondage and makes him qualified to attain love of Krishna. Consequently, the Jiva is bound by the modes of Maya, cannot see the pure form of Maya, that is, Sarup Shakti of Bhagavan, and they worship Maya alone as the primeval Shakti. The Jiva, in the state of illusion, can only realize these advanced philosophical truths by good fortune and by the power of Sukriti. Otherwise, he remains in Mayaka illusion, engaged, entangled in false conclusions, so that he remains bereft of real knowledge. Rajanath, in Gokula Upasana, Durga Devi has been described as one of Srihari's associates. Who is this Durga of Gokul? So Durga is generally Parvati. She's generally the eternal consort. She's generally the internal consort of Lord Shiva. But now she's mentioned in Gokul. So he says, who is this Durga of Gokul? So Babaji answers, Durga of Gokul is none other than Yoga Maya. She's situated as the seed of transformation of Chikshakti. So when she is present in the spiritual world, she considers herself non-different from the Sarup Shakti. The material Maya is only a transformation of that Yoga Maya. Durga, situated in the material world, is only an attendant merged servant of that Durga, who is present under the Sarup Shakti in the spiritual world, as the Shakti who nourishes Krishna's pastime. So the real Durga is in Gokul. And the other Durga is only a transformation of that. That Yoga Maya bestows the Parakiya Bhav that the gopis in the spiritual world embrace in order to nurture the amorous pastimes of Krishna, Yoga Mayam Upasita. The purport of this statement about the Rasa dance is that there are several activities of Sarup Shakti in Krishna's pastimes, amorous pastimes, that appear like ignorance, ajnana, but factually are not. The Yoga Maya potency stages activities that appear to be performed in ignorance, but this is perfect. This is for perfecting Maharas. We'll analyze this subject and do it later on when we discuss Rasa. So Babaji is explaining so many detailed things, and then he concludes, digest what you have, and maybe later I can give you more. And that, basically, that's more or less Prabhupada's philosophy. Digest what you can, and then you'll get more. Rajanath, there's one thing I wish to know concerning Dham Tattva. Kindly tell me, why do the Vaishnavas refer to Navadvipa as Sridham? So now he's just asking all different questions about the Tattvas, about the science of Krishna consciousness, including Dham Tattva. He wants to know why the Maya, the Vaishnavas refer to Navadvipa as Sridham. Sridham Navadvipa. Mayapur Ki Jai. Sri Navadvipa Dham and Sri Vrindavan Dham are non-different from each other, and Mayapur is the highest truth within Navadvipa Dham. The relationship of Sri Mayapur to Navadvipa is the same as the relationship of Sri Gokul to Braja. So Mayapur is is the Mahayoga pit, the great place of meeting at Navadvip. According to the shloka, Chinakalo of Srimad Bhagavatam, the plenary manifestation of Bhagavan who appears in Kali Yuga, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is covered, and similarly his holy abode are also covered. In Kali Yuga, no other holy place is like Navadvip. Only one who can realize the transcendental nature of this dham is actually qualified for Vrajaras. From an eternal material point of view, both Vrajadham and Navadvipdham appear to be mundane. Only those whose spiritual eyes have some good fortune have been open can see the dham as it is. So we're learning about dham tattva. Rajanath, I want to know the sarup of this Navadvipdham. Babaji, Golok, Vrindavan, and Swetadvip are the inner compartments of Parvyoma or Vaikuntha. Sri Krishna's Swakya Leela takes place in Golok, or Goloka. His Parakya Leela takes place in Vrindavan, and the Supramanti Leelas take place in Navadvip. In essence, there is no difference between these three dhams. Navadvip is really Swetadvip, but still not different from Vrindavan. The residents of Navadvip are very fortunate, so they are associates of Sri Gaurangadev. One can only attain residence of Navadvip after many, many pious activities. Some rasa is not manifest in Vrindavan, but that very rasa is manifest in Navadvip as a supplement to Vrindavan Ras. One experiences that Ras only when one becomes complete to relish it. So I'm going to end now. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail.
Yeah, Gail.
If I can, I do have two questions.
Go ahead.
One is, I think you said that the Parakya Ras, that the Swakya Ras happens in Goloka or Gokula, which one?
It says the Parakya Ras takes, I don't see that part, it just says, so Sri Krishna's Swakya Leela takes place in Goloka.
Yeah, that's it. And I was so surprised to hear that because, I mean, in Goloka, I thought that was the land of, you know, the gopis, where the gopis
yeah,
are.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And anyway, maybe it'll become clearer later on, but I also don't understand.
Okay.
Yeah, again.
Yeah, my other question was, I wanted to know if I had a correct conception about Durga and Yogamaya, which Yogamaya, I think I understand that Yogamaya is an expansion of Radharani. So my question is it correct, you know, to use that analogy that you often use, that is it correct to say that Durga and Yogamaya are basically the same person, but they just behave differently according to the jivas that they are dealing with?
The difference is that when Krishna or something like that deals separately, it's although it's one person, it also manifests separately.
Yeah, like the electricity, right? With the stove and the refrigerator.
Yeah.
So similarly, Durga and Yogamaya.
Durga is an expansion of Yogamaya.
Oh, an expansion, okay, of Yogamaya. Okay.
Yeah, because it's all Shakti. Yeah, it's all Shakti. It's all the Shaktis of the Lord. Okay.
But it's, okay.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Thank you, Govardhan. I'm very exhausted, so I'm going to actually have to go now. Let's go, Prabhupada.